Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot owl, brown cow, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing,
Hey, boss, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey.
You know, that sounded like it was going to be my opening. But I have to quickly shift gears right in the middle. That's what I love about this show. We can just shift gears as quick as we get into them because I have got a very special guest. And so this music is very fitting. Yes, I am filling in. This is Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. But, you know, Dean, whenever I fill in, he never really fully trusts me in here alone. And so guess who's true. On our line?
Very true.
Hi-ho. Hi-ho, Dean Areno.
Now, see, I thought I was calling into Bozo Circus because I just heard that it was on the air.
Well, that was a very subtle tribute to you once again. You are the torchbearer. You are the flame carrier of Bozo in this city, so I just wanted people to get a sense that you were still here in spirit, even though you
I like that there clearly was some sort of misfire, and neither you nor Schwani made any mention of it.
No, you just let that go.
Andy didn't even stop reading.
Just kept going.
Well, I thought it was fitting to have Bozo music behind Andy anyway.
Wow.
Wow.
We have a newsroom to run. Of course we kept going.
We're pros here. So, Dean, to everybody else, once again, Elton Jim here filling in for Dean on this Sunday morning. I will certainly do.
Yeah, you mentioned that already.
Yeah, well, I have to keep saying that 17 times. But what I guess I am just as surprised to be here as most of the listeners are, because I should really be where you're at.
I would beg to differ on that.
Why? No, I mean... I have been lobbying to be your plus one for almost 4 years, Dean. And
very true, but if ever there was a time that really you should have been my plus one, it should have been on this trip.
I told you.
I'm in London right now.
Oh, I hate you so much right now. I hate you.
And last night I was at one of the very first screenings ever for the new Elton John biopic, Rocketman. Now, I understand that you saw that they had a special advance screening in Chicago.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you also got to see it.
Yes, I did.
But, I saw it last night here in London, just outside Piccadilly Circus.
Nice.
And just a half an hour ago.
Oh, don't even tell me. Don't even tell me what happened.
Left the cast of the movie, Taron Egerton, Bryce Dallas Howard, Richard Madden, the director of the movie. And then tomorrow will be the official London premiere of the movie, Big Red Carpet, Fancy Red Carpet, at which I will talk with Elton John. So yeah, it's too bad you're not here.
Yeah,
it's
well, thanks, Dean. Here. Thanks, Dean. Yeah, because I shouldn't really be there. No. Yeah, no, don't worry about that.
You know. I just thought you're sort of a casual fan of Elton John, and you would really be that interested.
Well, at the very least, what I want you to do on the red carpet is I want you, if you can remember this, even though you're going to be very starstruck, because I know how you are in front of celebrities, but at the very least, you have to give him you have to say my name to him and see how he reacts. If he reacts...
Now, what am I supposed to do? He's walking over to me to, right, you know, to talk about his movie.
Right.
And what am I supposed to do? Hi, Elton, I know you want to talk about your movie. Jim Toronto!
No, you're supposed to say, at the very end, you say, oh, and by the way, Jim Toronto from Chicago says bravo. That's all you're supposed to say, and just see how he reacts. Because if he doesn't...
What if he reacts poorly?
Well, good. Then you've got some great tape. To play
your heart will be broken.
No. I mean, hey, once again, he's already dedicated a song to me. He can't break my heart anymore. But no, I mean, this is a big deal. I don't know if you want to save your review for when the film comes out. I was going to talk a little bit about it without getting into specifics. But I guess the one reason that I wanted to talk to you about this, whether we do it today or sometime in the future, is several weeks ago when we were on the air, we were actually had an interesting debate, which we didn't get a chance to get into more, is that you did not feel that Elton John was a legend on the status of a Frank Sinatra or some other people like that, and I beg to differ with you.
Or Elvis,
and so I'm just wondering.
Frank Sinatra or Elvis. He's a superstar. I just don't think he's like a Sinatra or
even
like,
after
Michael
seeing,
Jackson.
Even after seeing, not even Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we need to have a serious debate here. But even after seeing this film, you didn't get a sense of the magnitude of his career?
I get a sense of his career is amazing, and he's recorded some of the greatest songs ever recorded. But there's a difference.
Did you hear the fact in the movie that at one time in the 70s, he was responsible for 5% of all the records sold in the world? Do you understand the magnitude of that phrase?
Yeah, no, I get it.
So how could you say that he's not on the...
I get it.
Well,
okay. I don't think Bruce Springsteen's on that level either.
Wow.
I don't think that a lot of people who are extremely popular and extremely talented... I think that Frank Sinatra is on a different level, and the Beatles are on a different level, and that Michael Jackson, they not only made great music, they changed the way people lived. They changed pop culture.
Well, when you see people wearing all different kinds of glasses today, which are become a fashion statement, you don't attribute that to Elton John?
Well, really, the only one I ever see do that is you. So, I wouldn't exactly say that.
So, are you going to go? Are you
going to?
Are you going to go sightseeing? Are you going to go sightseeing, or do you have time, or are you just very busy?
No, I'm doing other interviews today. I've got another movies to see. First of all, before we get off of this, or I don't know, do you want to take a break?
Yeah, why don't I take a break? Because you usually when you
I don't want to hear you nag me that I made you be late.
Well, usually when you do these little pop-ins, like the parents calling up the babysitter to make sure that I didn't order a pizza or that my girlfriend isn't over.
I've already done that with Shawnee and Andy. I just called to make sure that you haven't annoyed them too much already so far.
Well, we are bringing the keg in.
I left the building, Dean,
and I have arranged to go home early.
Yeah, I mean, Andy was so when he saw me walk in, he ran to Guaranteed Rate Field. He couldn't even stay here.
Well, you mean Kaminsky term, Park, yeah, right?
Yeah, you know where I'm going. I said Kaminsky Park. But, I saw Andy.
It's Kaminsky.
Kaminsky. I saw, when I said, hi, Andy, I saw a look of fear, shock, and hatred. And then the next thing I heard was Schwann say, oh, by the way, Andy's recording at 9. He'll be at Sox Park.
I like to remain a mystery. Well,
you must be used to that by now, Jim.
I'm sure he is. Well, you're right, Dean. You are always the pro, always thinking about business as well as entertainment. So we will take a quick break here.
About the clock. So, but when we come back, I just want to give this little tease. When we come back, because I imagine now that people know that you're there, they're going to turn the radio off.
Yeah.
So. I do want to talk about the movie.
Good.
You saw it. I saw it. So I do want to talk about it.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, cool. Well, we will do that. Nice tease, Dean. That's why you are Dean.
I'm a professional.
I am Jim Toronto filling in for Dean, even though he will not relinquish this chair. He's 7 hours, 8 hours away, 3,000 or 4,000 miles away, and he still has to be on his own show. My gosh. Let one of these jobs go, Dean.
Egomaniac.
Let one of these jobs go. You don't have to hold on to these like a pope. Jeez. Gosh.
So,
we will be back right after this. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at WGN 720 AM. No switching. As Dean and his ego and his insecurity will provide, he cannot stay away from the show even when he is out of the country and has somebody filling in for him, he still has to be on his own show. And so we now rejoin Dean from London. Hello, mate.
You sound that like it's a bad thing.
No. In fact, I love when, in fact, if you remember, I asked you, hey, Dean, if you're available and you can carve out a couple of minutes in your busy day, I always love to talk with you on the radio and everything. So this is great.
My pleasure.
So you are in London. Where are you in? Where are you right now as we speak? Where? Give us a visual picture of where Dean Richards is in London right now.
Well, I'm at my hotel where I just returned. We did, as I've mentioned, we just did the interviews with the cast of this new Elton John biopic, Rocket Man.
What section of London are you in?
We're right near Westminster Abbey.
Nice, nice area. Yeah, so you're right by the church, you're right by the beautiful Westminster Bridge.
Yeah, very, very much so. There are very many familiar sites. You know what's interesting? They're doing some renovation work on Big Ben. So when you look to see, you know, the famous tower, the Big Ben, it's all in scaffolding right now.
Oh, that's always a bummer when that happens. I've been there several times, and there's been a few times when the scaffolding is up, and you're like, wait a minute, that's the picture I want to take.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be live on the TV morning news from here tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
And I was planning on, you know, doing something with Big Ben in the background, something very identifiable.
Yeah.
But seeing a bunch of scaffolding, you know, I can get that on West Belmont. I don't have to go.
So in the time we have here, give me your initial reactions to the new that comes out May 31st. And obviously
I thought it was amazing.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad you liked it.
Absolutely amazing. I loved it.
I was wondering how a casual fan would react.
Yeah, it's, I think people are going to go into this thinking that it's going to be like Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen biopic. And even though it's the director of Rocket Man is the same director that finished Bohemian Rhapsody, there was some controversy with the original director of Bohemian Rhapsody, and the director that did Rocket Man took over.
Yeah, Dexter Fletcher.
Completely different approach to this movie. It's done in sort of a reality fantasy sort of a setup. It's almost like you're watching a stage musical.
Oh, it's totally a musical.
It's definitely a musical, but I mean like a stage musical.
Yeah, no, I mean this is
it bounces around. It doesn't follow a strict narrative like, you know, first he did this and then he did this and then he did this and then he sang this song. You know, it doesn't follow like a strict chronology. It bounces around and songs are used in different contexts in order to further the story. So it's I think it's very refreshingly made. And Taron Egerton, if he doesn't get nominated for an Oscar for this, I'd be shocked. His performance is so good in this movie.
Well, as somebody who has followed Elton John's career for 45 years, who has seen every documentary, who has read every book, who has read every article, who has seen almost every picture, there were times when I was watching this movie where I forgot it was not Elton John. I forgot that it was Taron Egerton. I mean, they really captured in some moments his look, and he captured his attitude and his physical, you know, kind of gesturing and some of his physicality. Yeah, I think that the movie will certainly, I think it will entertain and inform casual fans, and it will certainly reward and touch longtime fans. There were a lot of moments there where I had goosebumps because I know that story almost as well as Elton himself. And I was very impressed. I mean, that's a 10,000 piece jigsaw puzzle, his life and his career. Right. And there was, they did an amazing job of getting as much of that in there and tying it together. The ending scene is very emotional. You know, that hug. I'll just mention the hug. And I think that take my Elton fandom aside, I'm really glad to hear that you liked it. Because I was wondering, I knew that I would like it, and I knew diehard fans would like it, but I'm just wondering how casual fans will like it.
Yeah, I liked it very much. The it's you know, the music is you know, the soundtrack of all of our lives. I mean, we all grew up with these songs. They mean something to us. So, I mean, aside from it being nostalgic and that you know the words for the song, they mean something what you were doing when you first heard these songs. And now they're set to what Elton John was going through in his private life.
And
for the most part,
what I thought was
when things were going on.
What I thought was most impressive too is most of these songs, you have to understand all of the lyrics. Elton John does not write his own lyrics. So all these songs are written by Bernie Taupin, and in the way that they use the songs, none of those songs were written relating to the scenes that they are used in the movie. So they did an amazing job of going through the lyrics and finding lyrics that would pertain to moments in Elton John's life. Those songs are not autobiographical necessarily because they were written by someone else. Yeah. And so they did an amazing job of weaving, you know, the lyrics.
For example, I mean, when he was a very young man, child prodigy, really. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that about Elton John, that, what a prodigy he was. But as a very young man, he sits down at a piano. Somebody asks him to play something, and he kind of noodles out the beginning of "Candle in the Wind,"
right?
Which didn't come till much later in his life. Certainly not when he was a child. But it was an appropriate use of that song at that moment. That's what I mean when I say it's like a theatrical. It's like the way Mamma Mia took all of the ABBA songs and juggle them around in order to make them work with what the story was that they were trying to tell. But you learn about the relationship between Elton John and Bernie Taupin, and you learn about the very troubled relationship with his parents. You learn a lot of behind the scenes things that are going on of him struggling with his own sexual identity, with his use of alcohol and drugs. There are moments that are, very sad and very emotional.
Yeah.
There are moments that are triumphant. I just think they did a fantastic job.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I cried, I laughed, I winced, I was jolted, I tapped my foot. But I'm also nodded many times to say, yeah, they got that right. So, Dean, I've got to run here. You, as usual, you have put me over schedule already. The train is now off by 3 minutes, and we are already in the red zone.
And I'd also like to say about the movie.
Dean.
I will, I'll see if there's some comfortable way to bring your name up on the red carpet tomorrow. I cannot see that as being anything but awkward and weird.
But that's why we love a Dean Richards.
It wouldn't be the first time that I've done something awkward or weird on a red carpet. That's very true.
Yeah, you're the king of awkward. Yeah, that's why I say it. That's why I ask you.
Yeah, so Monday on the TV morning news, I'll have my interviews with Taron Egerton and Tuesday, Elton John from the red carpet, which will take place tomorrow. And we'll talk more about the movie. We'll have you when the movie's coming out at the end of the month. We'll have you back to talk more about it.
Definitely.
Maybe we can get some of your other Elton John nerd friends to come on.
That'll be fun. Yeah. Well,
unless you don't want to share the spotlight.
No. Maybe we'll have. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Have fun in London. I hate your guts. I should be there.
I should have been your
plus one, but at the very least tonight, go to the Waterloo Bridge at night in London. It's the best view.
Okay,
so that's my little
feeling. Like you're, I feel like you're setting me up to.
No. It's the best. The Waterloo Bridge, looking down the Thames at the Parliament, is one of the best views in London. So do that. We thank you so much, Dean. I've got to run here because I'm getting looks from Swanee and everybody else. But thanks a lot, Dean. I appreciate you checking in.
I'd like to just say about the movie before I get...
Swanee, save me, Dave. Save me, Dave.
You know, I remember back in high school, every time I hear Benny and the Jets, I think about a party that I was at.
Dean
was talking about it being the soundtrack of our...
crashed through another gate.
It is.
You know, the Philadelphia Freedom was named after...
Right. I remember the first time that I heard the song Tiny Dancer.
Oh.
I had it on 8-track. Oh, I had an 8-track. Oh, Jim, what album was that, Tiny Dancer? What album?
Well, that would be Madman Across the Water. Let me see. I'm getting a phone call from Todd Madley right now as to why we're so late.
I had that on an 8-track. And I used to listen to that.
Dean, do you remember when Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy came out?
Yes, that was the first album ever to hit number one, but don't worry about that. Anyway,
I played that when I was a disc jockey in college.
For a friend.
That was good by Opie Grove.
I that on my car stereo.
11 minutes and 4 seconds long, by the way. Okay, look, I've got that's how long this news is late by 11 minutes and 4 seconds.
Is that how late you are? 11 minutes and 4 seconds.
Pretty much the time that it takes to play Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Beating. That's how late I am already. Okay, Dean, please, your ego is as. I will. What? Thank you, Dean.
What? Cheerio.
Goodbye, mate. We'll see you later. Hey. Oh my God! It's 9:36, 9:37. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at 7:20 a.m. WGN. We will be here until 12:30. Then we hand it off to the White Sox. But right now it is 9:37. The news is sponsored by NextDoorAndWindow.com. And here, finally, about 7 minutes late, is Dave Schwann. I am Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning on this Sunday morning, and I am certainly happy to be sitting in for Dean as he gallivants, and as I said, I'm very jealous and I'm very upset at him. Of all the plus ones that I have tried to piggyback with him, whether it was on cruises or different junkets, this is the one that I thought he should have, brought me along, at least stole me away somewhere. But at the very least, I guess he threw me a bone and said, well, if you can't come with me, at least I'll let you fill in for me on this Sunday, May 19th. And so I am certainly happy to be here with you. Later in the show, tonight, have you heard the news? There's this show called Game of Thrones. And tonight, after 8 seasons, is the finale. So I'd love to talk about that. In fact, I'd love to get on the line with some folks here at 312-981-7200 to talk about Game of Thrones. And there's been a lot of controversy over the last several weeks. This is the last season. The last couple of episodes have upset, that's putting it mildly, some of the diehards of Game of Thrones. But that's all been hashed out in social media over the last couple of weeks. What I would like to hear, though, is what, if you are a fan of the show, what are you hoping to see in this finale tonight? And if you're not a fan of the show, I'd also love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. What is it like to not be a Game of Thrones fans when the entire culture is obsessed with it? So I'd love to hear from both the diehards to say, what are you hoping for tonight? And I'd also love to hear from people that have never watched the show or don't care and say, what are you going to be doing at 8 o'clock tonight? Because about 18 million people, if not 20 million people, are going to be watching Game of Thrones tonight based on the recent ratings. And so I'd love to hear, for those of you that say never saw it, don't care, I think there's just as much validity as to the diehards to say, oh my gosh, I hope Jon Snow is on the Iron Throne. And my question is, given what happened last week, and I mean, hopefully there's no more spoiler alerts here, it's been a week, after the destruction of the city, is there even an Iron Throne left? Is it melted? Is there an Iron Throne for anybody to sit on? These are the questions that we will be discussing a little later. Also, in the Pop Culture Club, we'll have Mick Kaler on, and we'll be talking about the reefer revolution. I don't know about you, but everywhere I turn and everywhere I sniff, I'm starting to smell marijuana a lot more than I used to in our culture. And Illinois right now is debating whether to legalize it, marijuana, for recreational purposes. So we're going to just talk about what kind of changes can we expect in our culture on a daily basis if indeed marijuana, weed, Mary Jane, pot, dope, whatever you want to call it, is officially legalized here in Illinois, or if not even federally. Obviously, there's 10 states that currently have it legalized for recreational use, but it may just be a matter of time before it becomes federally decriminalized and becomes legal in the whole country. So we'll talk about that. And also, if we'll talk a little bit about some of the summer movies, because in the next couple of weeks, Dean was just talking about he saw the advanced screening, as I did, of the new Elton John film, Rocket Man. But within the next couple of weeks, the unofficial and official opening of the summer movie season begins, usually around Memorial Day, so that's about a week and a half or so away. Where did May go? That's my question. And so we'll talk about some of the big movies that you may be wanting to see in the next few months as the summer tent films and sequels and franchises roll out for your summer entertainment and your summer dollar. Ariel is my producer today. Should I go to Mike Hammernick, or should we?
Yeah, why not?
Can we go to Mike?
Yeah.
Is he there? Do we know if he's there? I'll just hit the button. That's the one thing I love about, that's the charm of an Elton Jim hosting. We don't know what we're doing until we do it. So is Mike Hammernick there?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, good morning. I'm all right. Happy Sunday.
I'm looking out. One of the great things about the WGN studio now here, we're on the 18th floor. While we have a beautiful view, it's to our back when we are talking on the... our guests can see the beautiful view of the of Navy Pier, but we can't. But as I turn around and look, boy, it's kind of a cloudy day today. The sun was out early in the morning, and yesterday was out early in the morning, and then it kind of ducked away.
Yeah, that's going to be a theme today, off and on showers and thunderstorms. But we'll see some peaks of sun from time to time, and it's going to be a warm, fairly mild day, too. We'll be in the 70s or around 70 for most of the day today. Little or no lake cooling. But the threat of showers is going to hover over our head throughout the day, but it won't be an all-day rain. Light stuff this morning. Then what we're looking at is between noon and 4 p.m. That's when a heavier storm could roll through, and even a possibility of a severe storm. Even though the threat is on the low end, we'll still be keeping a close eye on the radar for storms between noon and 4 p.m. that could produce some hail, strong winds, and can't even rule out a little brief spin-up tornado. Because Whoa. There's so much wind energy in the atmosphere, Jeez. And some of it's twisting. There could be a brief tornado or two, and most notably or likely could be in northwest Indiana. So we'll keep a close eye on that as these storms do evolve.
And what's the 7-day look like?
It's wet, continued wet, although we dry out Monday and Tuesday, 60 tomorrow, 64 on Tuesday. Storms on Tuesday night once again, but most of Monday and Tuesday dry. And then warm and stormy for the rest of the week, around 80. We could have put three 80-degree days in a row on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with occasional storms.
So, yeah, I know, but you know, to me, if it's 80 degrees and rainy, that doesn't count.
That's true. It's not going to rain the whole time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I see your point there.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
But considering how cool it's been, you know, anytime we can get close to 80, I think we've only had one or two so far this year.
So what do May showers bring? Because that's all we're getting. We miss the April showers. We're getting the May showers.
Hopefully not snow.
Oh, please. Don't go. Come on. Oh, my gosh. Don't say that.
It's been a weird year, but we're not going backwards.
Thank God.
Hopefully forward and dry things out a little bit. Get summer going by the time June gets here.
Well, that's good news. Well, we'll carry an umbrella with us, and we'll just pray for hopefully a little sun breaking through those clouds every once in a while.
Yeah, I think we'll see a little bit, but don't expect a lot.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mike.
All right, Jim. You
take
bet.
Care. Have a good week.
You too.
All right. The Memorial Day sales event is going on at American Sail. Save up to 50% on the largest selection of swimming pools, patio sets, and more. Everything for your outdoor summer fun. And pay no interest for 4 years. American Sail has the area's largest selection of patio furniture in stock, and it's ready for free delivery. See store for details, but hurry, because this Memorial Day sale event ends soon. American Sail has 9 Chicagoland locations, or just visit AmericanSail.com. That's AmericanSail.com. American Sail, bring the fun home. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. Back after this, no switching. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 720 AM, filling in for Dean Richards on this Sunday morning. Good morning. Hope you'll stay with us till 12:30 before we hand it off to Andy Mazur as the White Sox take on the Toronto Blue Jays. That ominous music you hear in the background is for most fans of fantasy types of programming. You know what that is. It's the music behind Game of Thrones, the world of Westeros and Eros and Winterfell and all these different areas. That is the world of the Seven Kingdoms, the Iron Throne, all that is Game of Thrones. And tonight, after 8 seasons and unprecedented success, Game of Thrones comes to an end. So I'd like to talk about that with you tonight at 8 o'clock on HBO. I think last week the episode had 17.5 million people. That is approaching network kind of impressive network television viewing. And remember, HBO is a pay service. And just to get a handle on how popular Game of Thrones is and has been, The Sopranos, which really had helped define HBO, say, 20 years ago, I think the highest ratings they ever got was maybe 5 million. So, I mean, Game of Thrones has almost quadrupled the amount of ratings. That's how popular the show has been almost from day one. So if you are a Game of Thrones fan, I'd love to hear from you as to what you are expecting or hoping for from tonight's finale at 8 p.m. on HBO. And if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, I'd love to hear from you as well. What is it like living in a world where so many people are into something and you're not? How do you get any references? Do you know what the Iron Throne is? Do you know who Tyrion is? I mean, do you get any of these? Do you know what the Red Wedding is? Do you get any of these references that are just being dropped into our pop culture for the last 8 years that are connected to Game of Thrones? What's it like living in a non-Game of Thrones world when the rest of the world is living in a Game of Thrones world? So whatever side of the coin you're on, I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Before we do that, though, I want to go to a phone call of that she's been hanging on so long, and I really appreciate your patience there. We were talking about the Elton John film Rocket Man, which Dean is not here today because he is in London, and he saw the film last night, and I was able to see an advanced screening that was all around the country yesterday night. I saw it at the Oakbrook Theater. And so we were talking about Elton John, because obviously my nickname, if you have listened to me with any kind of regularity, is Elton Jim. And so we have on the phone here, Kathy. How you doing, Kathy?
I'm well. How are you? I really love it when you're on the radio.
Oh,
it
makes me so happy. Well, I love it too.
Yeah, we need more of you. And I a couple things on Elton John, and I do have a Game of Thrones answer for you as well.
Okay,
Wondered what your favorite Elton John song is of all time, because mine is Philadelphia Freedom.
Ah.
I've never kind of wavered off of that.
I love Philadelphia Freedom. That's, to me, that is one of his best songs, even though it's one of his most popular and gets played quite a bit. But when you listen to that song, especially the production of it, there are...
Oh, my gosh, with the violin?
Oh, the string section, yeah. That was done by a guy named Gene Page, who did a lot of the soul and 70s music. And Elton is a big fan of 70s soul, like the Spinners and groups like that. And so he had Gene Page do that. I think it's a great song. I think it's a great Bernie Taupin lyric. But it is not my all-time favorite, although it is... The recorded version really is something to listen to if you listen to it close. Ironically, do you have any children, Kathy?
No, but that's okay.
Okay, no, because my question usually is when someone asks me, what's your favorite Elton John song? I say, well, what's your favorite child?
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Because how can I do that?
But it's so funny for me. That is absolutely my favorite. And he's got, like, 30 years worth of songs. It's just such a joyful song.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a...
I will tell you. I mean, there are some songs that are favorites of mine that you probably have never heard. There's a deep track called "High Flying Bird," which I think is one of my favorite songs of his. But if you're going to look at songs that are well known, that were hits, I would have to say "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me" is probably my favorite, just because it really encompasses a lot of the Elton John sound. It has the drama. It has the piano. He does a great vocal on it. I think it's a great, Bernie Taupin lyric. What a great lyric. when you look at some of the the lines, although I search myself, it's though as someone else I see. What a great line that is.
Right.
It not only has it always been one of my, if not the favorite of his songs, but then it actually was cemented forever, because I don't know if you've heard the story. I've said it several times on the air since it happened last October 19th, 2018. Not that I remember the date. But in Madison Square Garden, I was shocked beyond all belief as I was at that concert. Elton dedicated that song to me.
Yeah, the very least, you deserve that.
And so that, of course, elevated that song in terms of my favorite. Even if it wasn't my favorite, it certainly has to be now. And yeah. So, yeah, if you answer that question, I would say that is probably my favorite. But, yeah, as I said, there's way too many songs. There's 50 years of songs. There's more than, almost 40 studio albums. So there's a million of them. But your choice of Philadelphia Freedom certainly is right up there, even though it is a big hit song. I just love the lyric. And as I said, I love the arrangement and the sound of that. But talk to me about Game of Thrones. So are you a fan or a non-fan?
I am a non-fan, and I'm going to be watching my guy Kyle Hendricks tonight play the Cubs game on ESPN.
Wow! So you
know, I have no regret, and I think the reason is that it's too violent. There's too much violence in the world every day. I don't want to tune out and watch more violence. I am aware of it, and I know,
right?
You know, I know about what the Red Wedding is, and my gosh, that would it's too violent for me. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm so, and I went to the same school that George R. R. Martin went to. So I'm not missing anything. I don't think I'll swing around and pick it up a couple years from now. So,
wow.
Sorry.
Well, that's no problem. Like I said, I think it's interesting because, like I said, this is, especially they've waited so long and there's only six episodes now for this last season. It took almost a year or so to get the show, more than a year to get the show back on. So there's been so much anticipation. And so, there's been so much written, especially online, about the Game of Thrones. Every episode has been taken apart and analyzed to the nth degree, to the point where people were even seeing Starbucks cups mistakenly placed at one of the big meals.
What I think is interesting is there's apparently a group of fans that are like, we don't think this ending is good enough, so we want this rewritten.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Got like $500,000 signatures. Can you imagine?
There is, you make a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Kathy. There is a petition out on the internet that people are so disappointed in the way these last six episodes have taken the story and taken some characters. There was a lot of controversy about a couple of episodes ago called The Long Night, that it was so dark you couldn't, there was this huge battle. This was the battle that you've been waiting, eight seasons to see, and it was all in the dark and no one knew what was really happening.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so yeah. It's been like I said. It's interesting how you are just going to go about your business. Good for you. You're not succumbing to the peer pressure. So good for you. Even though I think it's interesting, you said you went to school, the same school that George R. R. Martin, who is the author of which Game of Thrones is based upon, and he hasn't even finished writing the final books. This guy has the worst. I thought I had bad writer's block sometime. Oh, holy cow. This guy's got the worst writer's block on earth. I mean, this has been like 10 years already. I mean, come on. Focus, George.
These fans are saying that's the reason why the last season hasn't been good, because
it's not him.
His interest isn't on it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Kathy.
Well,
enjoyed
listening to you. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks. I hope to hear you on the radio soon again.
Well, thank you very much, and enjoy your non Game of Thrones evening today.
Yeah, go Cubs.
Okay, there you go. Let's see. Let me read this real quick. Follow the music to the world premiere of August Rush, the musical, now playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. In this Warner Brothers film turned musical, no orchestra is needed, as this amazingly talented cast plays their own instruments live on stage. The music that's being heard for the very first time, is already inspiring young audiences. Kane County Chronicle agrees that it's a rousing affair. Around the town, Chicago raves, it's beautiful in every way. So don't miss it. It ends June 2nd. Tickets are at ParamountAurora.com, ParamountAurora.com. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning. We'll take a quick break. We'll be after this. Once again, if you have some Game of Thrones calls, 312-981-7200. What do you want to see tonight in the finale? Or, as Kathy was just talking about, what are you going to do if you don't watch Game of Thrones? Is there really anything else to do tonight? Let me know. 312-981-7200. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. We'll be back after this. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning here at WGN 720. Thank you for starting your Sunday, the Elton Jim way. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking Game of Thrones. Is tonight is the episode that everybody who is a fan of the show has been waiting 8 years for. The finale. Can it ever live up to the anticipation and the hope? That is the way things are with all shows. In fact, this week you may also have known that one of the most popular TV programs in the last 20 years, Big Bang Theory, also said goodbye with its finale after 12 seasons. And it was an interesting ending. It wasn't crazy. There was no big major reveals at the end or anything like that. It was a nice kind of heartwarming ending that really based around friendship, which is what that whole show was really about. So it went out with more of a whimper than a bang in terms of a big bang, but it was a nice ending. But tonight is the one. Tonight is Game of Thrones. And if you are a fan, as I said, what are you hoping to see tonight? This show, there's so many theories about what's going to happen, who's going to sit on the Iron Throne, who should be sitting on it. My question is there an Iron Throne after the dragons destroyed King's Landing? So, I mean, there's so much to go on here, but I'm going to go take the phone here and talk to Tom. And you think that I was talking about some numbers of how popular this show is. You don't think as many people are watching Game of Thrones, do you?
Well, if you put it in perspective, there are 256 million adults in the United States. If 22 million are watching Game of Thrones, that's about 8%.
Well, certainly, but I mean, I guess you can say that even about the Super Bowl then, can't you?
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole world is, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the entire country is Game of Thrones obsessed, but my point is that there are certainly 20 million, any studio or any network would be happy to get 20 million people to watch their program.
Well, I don't disagree. It's all about viewers and money, so.
Yeah, well, it's going to be popular one way or another. Thanks, Tom. Just some facts about Game of Thrones, to Tom's point about the hype and everything. Listen to this. These are kind of interesting. So the first episode of Game of Thrones in 2011 drew 2.2 million people, which was respectable, but I don't know if HBO thought that it was going to really, set the world on fire. That's compared to 17.4 who watched the first episode of the last season. So that is, almost, almost eight times the amount of people watching the show on the last episode or the last season than they did the first time. Some interesting little facts here. It has 47 Emmy Awards. You can't deny that. It's also got a Peabody, which is a very prestigious television award. Here's an interesting fact. 2,339 on-screen deaths in the first seven seasons. So someone was talking about, Kathy, I think, was talking about how violent the show is. Yeah, I would say so. 2,339 deaths in the first seven seasons. Uh-huh. And guess what? Only two of those characters died of natural causes. of the almost 2,500 deaths, only two people died of natural causes. So needless to say, Westeros is a little violent. What was this one? That's $27,000 were spent Oh, from a bakery. Oh, that's a dumb one. Anyway, but yeah, there's no question that there a lot is up for grabs here tonight. As if you are a fan of the show, who is set up right now, possibly, to be the king or queen of the Seven Kingdoms, to sit on the Iron Throne? A, as I said before, is there an Iron Throne? But, you know, we've got Sansa Stark, who certainly has maneuvered her way. We have Tyrion, the imp, who has been the hand to Dany. There is Jon Snow, who everybody would expect to be the new king. There is Dany, who went on a mad queen tirade last week's episode. Of course, there's Bran, who many people think may be the true heir. Arya, who killed the Night Walkers. She certainly has done her part to deserve to be the... She saved basically mankind. So I think at the very least, she should be considered to be queen. And of course, here's a little long shot. Good old heartfelt Samwell. Might he come back and be the king? Or might there not be one king at all? Everybody's looking for this one king, but you know, there might not just be one king at all. Maybe that's the best way that Westeros should be ruled. Here's Al from Rosemont. How you doing, Al?
Thank you for having me on.
How, can I call you Al?
You can call me Al.
Now, how often do you get that joke?
Well, I haven't yet. That's the first time.
Are you serious?
Humorous.
Oh, okay. But nobody has ever said that to you?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, my God, that was a huge song. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I don't hang out with as clever people like that.
Well, you know what, Al? You can call me Betty.
Okay. Yes, Chevy Chase, are we talking about?
So what's your king? What's your Game of Thrones theory here?
I've been recruited by friends, family, loved ones, and fraternity brothers to witness this final season. I've never seen it before.
Oh, really?
So I enlisted. I'll be there tonight to check it out. But I can tell you, I've fallen asleep four times.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, Al. I have to be honest. I'm propping myself up like I'm something of a aficionado, but I have to be honest with you. I have watched the show all the seasons. I am a fan, but I'm not a fanatic about it. And I have to tell you, there are many times when I have not made it through an episode. It is so dark sometimes, and there is so much talking. And my wife says, "What are you doing? You fell asleep again." I said, "Oh my God, they were in that cave for 20 minutes."
Exactly. I just want to say that.
So I'll tell you, I am right on track with you, Al. As much as I thank you for, you know, oh my gosh, I feel so liberated right now. You have helped me. I really felt like I was trying to project this. Hey, I'm a Game of Thrones aficionado and expert here, but I have to tell you, there are more times than not, I've had to watch. I'll be honest with you. Okay, I'll really tell you this. So I've been in a play over the last couple of weeks, so I haven't been able to watch the episode when it aired. I had to watch it delayed. Mm-hmm. So I came home late Sunday night, last Sunday, and I couldn't get, you know, did you watch the last episode?
I woke up at the last episode and said, I just felt bad.
Well,
not participate in any capacity.
So there's this character, Varys, which was the bald guy that it was like, he was the gossip, the town gossip. And he was getting executed by one of the dragons. It was a really amazing, and scary and dramatic moment. But leading up to it, every time they showed him preparing for what he was feeling like was going to be his imposing death, I fell asleep. It took me five times to rewind. I kept waking up and I had to rewind back to say, what happened to Varys? So I know exactly what you're talking about. As much as I enjoy the show and I think it's well made and it's well written and it's exciting and it's captured my interest and my imagination, there are times when it puts me to sleep as well.
I will be watching tonight. I hope I won't fall asleep. I'm going to try not
All
to.
All right. Well, I'll give you a call and wake you up.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. And let's go to Bill. Bill, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Good, good.
Well, never watched the Game of Thrones. It's not something that I'm into, but everybody asks me why I don't watch it because of my last name.
And that's and what's your last name?
My last name happens to be...
Oh! Look, okay. Bill, call back. That was not a setup, but it worked out perfectly. Bill, please call back because I cut you off before you said your last name. I love that. You can't plan that stuff. That's the charm of an Elton Jim show. You don't know what's going to happen. And the best part is, neither do I, if you couldn't tell. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here on this Sunday. We will take a quick break. As I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the reefer revolution after the news that's taking over our country here and soon may become legalized throughout all 50 states. And later on in the show, we'll also talk about some of the summer movies and a whole bunch more. We lost a few really interesting entertainers this last week. They do come in threes, and we did have three. We lost Doris Day. We lost Tim Conway. Who's the third one that we lost? Oh, and people forget. Jim Fowler. Remember Jim Fowler from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? He used to be with Marlon Perkins. Jim Fowler passed away, too. Anyway, it is 10:56. We'll take a quick break. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. no switching. And welcome back to Dean Richards' Sunday morning show. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean as he is gallivanting once again. And I am very jealous and very upset at him for not making me his plus one as he is across the pond in London, England, where he has just seen the new upcoming Elton John biography film, Rocket Man. He has, from what I understand, if he told us at the top of the show, he has just interviewed the entire cast, and tomorrow will be the red carpet opening of the film, and Dean will hopefully get a chance to get a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes with Elton on the red carpet. How exciting. And I asked him, please, while he is interviewing Elton, to pass along Elton Jim's congratulations to Elton John. So let's see if he does that. And let's see how awkward it'll be. And speaking of awkward, how can you do anything less and be awkward than the Pop Culture Club feature, which we have here on my show on a regular basis. And part of that is the gold ticket member of that, Mick Kaler. Welcome aboard there, Mixter.
I'm Mr. Awkward. You know me.
I know.
Actually, keep in mind, Dean Richards is a member of the Pop Culture Club, too. Remember when he called in and wanted to join in?
Yeah, that's right. It's a select few.
Right.
We certainly present it for the masses, but there are a select few. You just can't, you know, it's not a club if you let everyone in.
No. Yeah, it's very exclusive. It's kind of like the College of Cardinals, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, I wanted to have Mick on, and in fact, you may, on a regular basis, you may hear some of Mick's work, because if you watch the WGN Morning News, of which, of course, one of the 78, Dean Richards is the local version of Steve Harvey.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
He's got 18 jobs. And
Ryan Seacrest, yeah.
Yeah, and one of Dean's main jobs, obviously, is being a part of the WGN Morning News on Channel 9, and Mick's work is frequently featured throughout the morning show because you write some parody songs based on news events, and they play them on a regular basis there.
Yeah, in fact, about a week and a half ago, they ran a new one that Al Flash and I did. We took I'm Not Your Stepping Stone and changed it to I Don't Watch Game of Thrones.
Ah, so that's very timely because I was just talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Now, do you watch...
By the way, I have the ultimate spoiler tonight. Are you ready?
What's that?
Here's what happens on Game of Thrones.
What?
The whole cast, except for news anchor Ted Baxter, gets fired.
You know what's going to happen? Jon Snow is going to turn around in bed, and And his wife is going to be there, and it's going to be Suzanne Pleshette.
There you go. Perfect
yeah.
ending.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking, I mean, that tonight is the final episode of Game of Thrones. And in fact, I have to say that Mick actually, during the last couple of weeks, because he knows that I'm a fan of the show, called me to get some information to put some of those parody lyrics together.
Yeah, because I really don't. I mean, I know it's a big deal, and I get HBO, but I got to be honest, the closest I come to Game of Thrones is I one time went to Medieval Times, okay, for dinner. So,
would you eat like another glass of mead?
That's right, big turkey leg,
yeah,
the whole deal.
Yeah. So, but I did give you the terms of Winterfell and Westeros.
Right.
And so those were incorporated, so I felt like if that song does become a hit, I do deserve a writer's credit.
You'll get that or a little bit of royalty as soon as we get some.
Very nice, very nice. Well, I wanted to talk to Mick in the Pop Culture Club. As I said, we tried to talk about some pop culture topics. And, you know, a lot of times it's about movies or music or television and things like that, but as much a part of the pop culture today, and will certainly, I think, become more prominent in the months and years and decades to follow, is the legalization and the growing legalization right now of marijuana, cannabis, pot, Mary
right.
Jane, weed. And it's amazing how fast this locomotive has run down the track. I mean, some people might say, what's taken so long? I mean, there are people in the 60s that thought pot would be certainly legalized by the 70s or the 80s. And here we are in almost 2020, and it's finally happening. But I'm amazed at how quickly the entire marijuana culture, which has been always bubbling under the line of the mainstream of society, even though, because it's not legal. But as soon as the dam broke, oh my gosh.
Yeah, as soon as Colorado legalized it for recreational smoking, and then Oregon and Washington jumped in, it was like you said, it was like the gate busted open and everybody started trampling through.
Well, yeah, it's like a reefer revolution. I mean, but all of a sudden, there's no learning curve. It's like this, you know, we've all known for many years that people were just breaking the law. They were smoking marijuana. They didn't feel that it was a law that had merit. Not everybody. Once again, I'm washing with a broad brush here, but clearly, as soon as that opened, now all of a sudden you're hearing about there's all these hemp related products, which is marijuana related. There's this CBD, which
the
is
oil
being
thing,
the
sure.
oil for medicinal purposes and other things. You're going to see the letters CBD. If you have not seen that, you will see that, and it's already on television. But your local shelves at stores are going to be filled with CBD-infused products. It's unbelievable. And now the terms. I mean, you know, everybody now knows what a bong is.
Right.
I mean,
it's no longer just a Cheech and Chong thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Cheech and Chong were now, they're the patron saint, them and Willie Nelson.
Right, they're the trailblazers.
Yeah, they're the patron saints. But it's just been amazing how clearly, you know, this drug culture has been around. It hasn't really, you know, been, you know, publicized, but yet it's a whole culture unto itself. And as soon as you said, I mean, now there's 10 states that have legalized it. I've just been amazed how quickly, I mean, look how fast gay marriage went from being taboo to being legal.
Right. In fact, that's the way I was kind of equating this deal. It's like there was the talk and the talk and the talk. Finally, it gets approved and boom, it's there. And that marijuana, I think it's the same situation, including here in Illinois with Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Right. And in fact, just this week, there was an editorial in the Tribune that was saying, hey, look, I know we're on a fast track. The governor is looking for ways to, you know, fill the Illinois, the depleted Illinois coffers of revenue. There
yeah.
are so few revenue streams, and here's one that has been untapped for decades. It's always been said that, you know, you're missing out on a lot of revenue by not regulating and taxing marijuana because people are using it in such great numbers. And I'll tell you, the one thing that if it is legalized for recreational use here in Illinois, the one thing that I think is a positive, and I'm no drug head by any means, But at least for those who are taking it, and I don't smoke marijuana. I'll be honest with you. I have tried it. I experimented like most people, and unlike Bill Clinton, I did inhale. But it just wasn't my cup of tea. But at the same time, at least for those, and I remember being, and this was, you know, you're a young kid and you experiment. And part of the thing that did turn me off of it, aside from I really never got a true buzz, maybe I wasn't getting good stuff, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that whole kind of criminal element kind of, you know, pushed me away. There was always, you know, they weren't unseemly or necessarily, you know, scary people, but it was illegal, and you were dealing with an illegal substance, and you were dealing with a few possible ne'er-do-wells, and right. And you didn't know what you were getting, and at least this way, it is regulated. Those who are buying it can be assured to as much as they can that it's safe, and it's not going to be laced or cut with something else. So, I mean, people were using it. You know, at least aside from the revenue generating, which is great, we certainly need that. But I just think from the usage, at least people can have a little more confidence that, you know, the marijuana they're going to be using is safe.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, especially about the criminal element issue, because that's one of the arguments is, hey, let's take this out of the hands of people who, you know, do deal in like large quantities of marijuana illegally, you know, whether it comes up from Colombia or Mexico or whatever. But the other thing, when you were talking about when you were younger, this, you know, sneaking marijuana was different than sneaking a beer or two from your parents' fridge.
Right.
Beer is not illegal, even if you're underage, then it is illegal, but it's a different deal. So I understand where your hesitance was there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was always just a little hesitant about it. As I said, I never really got the true buzz, and I know a lot of times it takes a lot. For some people, it happens quicker for others. And like I said, so I was never, you know, really into it. But as I said, if people were, that was fine with me. And as I said, we're seeing now. I have to say, my wife and I went to Amsterdam a couple years ago, where it's been legal for years.
Right.
And if you go to a cafe or a coffee shop in Amsterdam, you will not get a Starbucks. You will not get an espresso. All they sell in coffee shops and cafes is marijuana.
So everyone's just puffing away there.
Yeah, I mean, that is a cafe. When you walk into a cafe, that's what they sell. They don't sell coffee. A cafe is where you buy marijuana, and they give you a menu. And they tell you, what are you looking for? You're looking to be, you know, feeling this way or that way. I mean, there's all these different strains. They show them to you. It's a whole culture. And here's the one thing that we have to get ready for, which people are not thinking about. We're thinking about revenue, and we're thinking about legalities, and we're thinking about the quality and the regulation. I got to tell you, after spending 3 days in Amsterdam,
mm-hmm.
the whole city smells like marijuana.
Right.
You have to get ready, especially if you go into a large area where there is a big congregation of people, like a town square, like here on Michigan Avenue. You'll be walking down the street. You will smell it in the air, and you will smell it on people. Just remember when you used to go to bars and your coat used to smell like cigarette smoke?
Right.
Well, that's what the world is going to smell like.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and I was walking down the street, and I'm going, oh my gosh, and after 2 or 3 days, you almost become immune to it, but it is present, and people bump into you, and you go, oh, that guy smokes.
Yeah.
So that's another byproduct that I don't think people are thinking about. Our whole world is going to smell different. Now, those who listen to me on a regular basis, I mean, you know that I love a good cashmere woods.
Sure.
By Glade.
Like that smell.
That's my favorite scent.
That's my favorite stripper, too.
Yeah, and so I might have to buy even more cans of this.
just to drown out the weed smoke.
Yeah, because believe me, I mean, you are going to notice that. Trust me, because it was unmistakable.
Well, it's funny you mentioned all that, because I think I sent you the story earlier this week. The Who, they were playing one of their first concerts on their new tour in the States, and Roger Daltrey, who has very sensitive issues with smoke, started bawling out somebody sitting in near the front of the stage during the Who's concert because they were smoking marijuana, and it affected Roger's throat and messed up his singing.
Wow, times are a-changing, huh?
Yeah, no more Teenage Wasteland, that's for sure.
No kidding. This is Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at WGN on Sunday morning, talking to Mick Kaler. This is not the pop culture club today, it's the pot culture club.
Gotcha.
Yeah. After the break, we'll continue to talk about this and a few other different pop culture topics, so stay tuned. But right now, do I have to, my friend Ariel, my producer here, are you there, my friend? You can jump on there real quick if you want. Can you go say?
I'm here.
Yeah. There was this traffic thing sponsored. Do I have to read that?
Yes.
I should read that. Should I have read that when he was saying it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oops. Well, let me just say it now then.
Okay.
Live power wires are dangerous. Stay safe by keeping yourself and the tools you are using at least 10 feet from all power lines. ComEd cares about your safety. Before you get close to any live power lines, call 1-800-EDISON-1. ComEd. Powering lives. I'm powering the 50,000-watt radio station here at WGN for the next about hour or so. I'll be back right after this. Jim Toronto for Dean Richards. No switching.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ah, that's going to be the new theme song for the United States.
Could be.
Yes, we are talking here on the Pot Culture Club this week with Michaela about the growing popularity and legalization of marijuana and what it may mean to our pop culture.
Well, you know, the one thing you were talking before about being in Amsterdam and the smell that you had to acclimate to. And my concern is, and it's a personal concern too, because twice in my life I have been driving in my car and been hit by drunk drivers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, don't forget the big argument for the legalization of marijuana, that it was no worse than alcohol. And if alcohol was legal, then why wasn't marijuana?
Right. And so my issue is, okay, what if I'm driving and some guy's just finished blazing up, or he's blazing up in his car or whatever, and hits me? What is done to determine the blood alcohol content for people who drink? And I know in Colorado they're working on this, but they have not been able to set up, I guess you call it, a field sobriety test to say, yeah, it was the marijuana that messed that guy up and made him hit you.
No, that's good.
And that's seriously, that's a big concern, because believe me, getting hit by a drunk driver sucks. And
yeah,
I don't want to have to throw in, you know, having to worry about, you know, Cheech and Chong or whomever in their van, you know, wailing into my little car.
Well, that's the thing. And like I said, there was a an editorial in the Tribune this week about, yes, we know that there is this rolling thunder states are seeing the possible monetary advantages of legalizing marijuana, but the Tribune in their editorial actually says, Governor Pritzker, let's put the brakes on this. There are a lot of issues in terms of health, in terms of safety, like you're saying, in terms of regulation, in terms of where the money will go. There, you know, we should just put the brakes on this. You know what? In other words, hey, take a drag and chill. You know, because
you're using all the vernacular. You might not have smoked pot much, but you sure got the vernacular down.
Well, you
got
to sound like, I said, people think I'm a Game of Thrones fan too, but I did, admit that I also fall asleep during a lot of the episodes.
Well, you're getting older too, yeah. So.
But no, I mean, so that's interesting. As much as the state certainly needs the funds, and we've seen, I mean, Colorado has become flush now with different avenues now of revenue, and that's great. And Illinois certainly needs its share of new revenues.
Sure.
But once you put these things on the book, they are hard to change. And so, you know, yes, there is a growing popularity. There's a growing demand. But at the same time, there is also some need for some just common sense, and we don't need to rush, because once it's legal, it's legal.
Right. Well, the other thing you're mentioning, growing, I heard them already talking about the parameters of the marijuana laws that could happen in Illinois, and they're putting things out there saying, okay, how many plants of this can you grow at home? Okay,
right.
You're talking about how stores would sell it and all that, but is marijuana growth at home going to be something that's going to be like moonshining, or is it going to be legal?
Right.
There's a lot of things, like you said, that they have to iron out that they haven't even approached yet.
Well, here's the thing. So one of my favorite TV shows is the Dragnet version from the 1960s with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan. It's the color
right.
version. And and this was airing right smack dab. It was a very pro police, you know, pro law and order kind of show, almost a propaganda show. And you know, Jack Webb would consistently on a weekly basis give every criminal some kind of a lecture, whether they were a robber, you know, whether they were a mugger, whether they were a, you know, bank robber or a murderer, whatever it was. But certainly toward the end of the show in the late 60s, when drug use was becoming more prevalent, the show was centering on this push and pull between the legality of drugs like marijuana and at that time even LSD and the use of it as the drug culture was beginning to uprise in 67 and 68 and 69. Well, I was scanning YouTube and I knew this episode existed, and so I was so grateful that someone posted this. Listen to this. This was from 19, it's got to be from 68, 69. And so that's 40 years at least.
Right.
No, 50 years. What am I saying? 50 years ago, this was the conversation on Dragnet between Joe Friday and as well as Harry Morgan, Bill, his Bill Gannon. And,
Bill Gannon, sure.
And a pot user. Listen to this and talk about relevancy.
You've been smoking marijuana.
Marijuana is illegal. I know that.
That's right.
For now. In a couple of years, things may change when all the kids grow up and start wearing ties and going to the polls. Marijuana's going to be like liquor, packaged and taxed and sold right off the shelf.
I doubt it, Mr. Shipley.
Look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it seems to me there must be better things for cops to do than chase down wild rumors about something as innocent as marijuana. Why don't you go after the big bad guys, the heroin peddlers? I won't argue with you about them. They should be stopped.
That's right. We'd like to put them out of business. That's why we're here.
What do you mean?
We're trying to keep them from getting a new customer.
There's a big difference between marijuana and hard narcotics.
Yeah, but it's only a small step.
And everybody who takes a drink is going to be an alcoholic. We know that's not true, don't we? Let's face it, we're on opposite sides of the fence and there's nothing we can do about it. For you, if there's a law against it, it's wrong, black and white. I just don't see things that way, that's all.
Well, you ought to give it a try, fella. It might keep you out of jail.
Maybe, but we'll change the law someday, even though your friend here thinks we won't. Believe me, it's a new world. Your laws are as outdated as bustles. Laws are going to have to be changed to keep pace with the new morality. They'll change or we'll have to break them.
What about your daughter? How's she going to feel if you end up in jail?
She won't like it any more than I will, but you'll have to catch me before you can arrest me, won't you?
How about that? How about that?
Yeah, way back then.
I mean, that's the argument today, and that was
right.
The argument 50 years ago. And I had to laugh when I was listening recently to an interview with Seth Rogen, who is a self-described pothead.
He's a major advocate.
Yeah, his films as well as in his personal life, and he makes no bones about this. So, you know, now that that marijuana is becoming legal, and it is legal now in California. You know, of course, Seth Rogen, he's an entrepreneur. He's starting his own cannabis business. And he was explaining in this interview, you could tell that he's definitely in a pot culture,
mm-hmm.
as I just said before. And you could say that he sits around with his friends while they're getting high and they formulate these philosophies. But here was the philosophy. I had to love this. He was with Charlize Theron because they're in a movie together now, The Long Shot.
Yeah.
And so she's listening to him, and he says in his explanation about marijuana, he said, well, you know, I mean, we've come to a point now in our culture where, you know, there's just some things that we need. He said, we need a coat because it's cold out. We need shoes because we can't walk on the sidewalk. And we realize that there are just some things in our lives that we need to get through a day. And pot is one of them. We've realized that we just need pot to get through our day. And I'm sitting there going, I said to myself, boy, that's a skewed philosophy. And Charlize Theron didn't miss a beat. And she goes, isn't that what crack addicts would say?
Right, you can take it to a different level,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, he really, I mean, but this is my point. In terms of the culture and the acceptance, there is a whole new philosophy. And it, yes, it's taken much longer than many people thought, like that says on that Dragnet clip. You know, they people thought as soon as, you know, the baby boomer generation got old enough to vote and got a little power that they would change that law. It's taken a long time. It's taken 50 years. But here we are. But and here, so here's another one. This is another great one from Dragnet, once again, 1960. This is where Gannon and Friday are giving a pot demonstration.
Okay.
This is a demonstration, gentlemen. I want everyone here to know exactly how marijuana smells.
Yes, sir. Bill, do you want to take over?
Marijuana, scientific name Cannabis sativa. It's a member of the hemp family. Grows as a shrub-like plant that may attain a height of 20 feet. This, incidentally, is not the real thing. This is a demonstration kit prepared and distributed by a nationally known drug firm. Maybe you'd like to pass this around. Now, as you can see there, the marijuana leaf always contains an odd number of divisions, or leaflets, from 5 to 13. The real leaf is sticky to the touch. The sticky substance is cannabinol, which is the actual narcotic resin in the plant. The other item in the demonstration kit is an ersatz marijuana pellet. Now, we'll place it here in the ashtray. Set the pellet on fire. Burning pot has a distinctive odor. Some people have described it as sweet or sickly. Would you all like to step forward? Now, some say the odor is similar to burning rope, alfalfa, or weeds.
It smells terrible.
Yes, ma'am.
This is what marijuana smells like.
I can guarantee it.
Let's get everybody up to speed on it. Sure.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, that is going to be a byproduct, folks. You could talk all about the revenue generation and the medicinal possible purposes for hemp and CBD and all these things you're going to see. And as I said, pretty soon the word marijuana is going to be as ubiquitous as anything in our culture. But I guarantee you, you are going to all of a sudden start to smell it.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And it's, I'm sure you won't be able to still smoke it in a restaurant like you can't smoke cigarettes, but believe me, you will smell it on the streets and you will smell it on people. And here's my question. You know how people take a cigarette break during work?
Right. Sure.
Will they take a weed break?
Time out in the middle,
yeah,
of the day. Well, keep in mind, like when I was talking earlier about people driving and smoking, I think in Colorado you have to be like in your house or apartment. You can't just be walking down the street puffing, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm sure that's, but as time goes on, you know, all those laws are going to go away too.
Right. But I'm just saying, but yeah, you have a fair point, because if you go downtown Chicago, any time of the day you see people outside,
yeah,
of building entrances having their cigarette breaks because you can't smoke in the building anymore. And is somebody going to be, you know, blazing up some cannabis sativa there?
And you're going to just see all of a sudden what's going to make a comeback? The roach clip.
Oh, sure. Designer roach clips, yeah.
And the rolling papers, the job rolling papers.
Well, not only that, just to think of the money that the pizza and the snack food companies, like the Doritos and Fritos companies, are going to be making.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to play Jim Cramer right now. Hey, listen, folks, if you want to make some money, Frito-Lay. Frito-Lay.
Now.
In the next 20 years, Frito-Lay is going to go up 45%. So get in on it, because people are going to have the munchies.
Well, you've probably seen stories of Girl Scout cookies. They've been selling them outside of, like, a couple doors away from some of these legal marijuana sales stores in certain states. And, of course, the kids are making tons of money,
right,
because all the potheads are going in and getting their dope. And then they're like, oh, I think I'm going to need some cookies later. I better buy some.
Yeah, wait till you stop at the little stop sign or the little signal on the highway, and they start selling you, instead of selling you Milky Ways and Snicker,
yeah,
bars for baseball, for their,
yeah,
little league, they're going to be selling you something else. Stay tuned, Mick. I want to keep talking to you.
Every highway, let me slip away on you.
Hey, Shawnee. Is he there? No, he's not there. Why am I... There's Shawnee.
Yo.
Why am I playing this song right here?
Carefree Highway?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a carefree highway if you're on the Eisenhower or the Kennedy, that's for sure.
No, but who sings it?
That's Gordon Lightfoot.
And who's the next mayor of Chicago?
Oh, Lori Lightfoot.
That's right.
Very good.
Carefree Highway.
Before we continue, we must tell our listeners that the entire inauguration ceremony, you can hear it live starting at 10 tomorrow morning on WGNRadio.com. We will have coverage at 720 WGNAM, starting with the oath of office at 10:30.
I mean, think about how historic this really is. We've become somewhat blasé in the last several years, as you know, our culture has changed and our social mores and our acceptance and our tolerance has grown, and what used to be taboo is now not even a second thought when we look about the strides that gay marriage has taken. And we talked about the growing no pun intended legalization of drugs and marijuana. But to have an African-American lesbian mayor of Chicago, can you believe that?
I mean, it certainly is.
I mean, 50, 60 years ago, if you would have walked up to Richard J. Daley,
30 years ago.
Yeah, if you would have walked up to, but I'm just saying, say 40 some years ago, and Richard J. Daley was still alive. Say in 1974, he died in 76. But right. Say in 1974, you walked up to him and said, you know, Mayor, in 40 years, we're going to have a black lesbian mayor. He's going to be sitting in your chair on the fifth floor. How hard would he have laughed at you?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, think about that. That's only 40 years. Some people say, my gosh, it's been 40 years. But at the same time, that's not a long time.
It was also very much a national story when Harold Washington was elected in 1983.
Yeah. Think about it. We had first Jane Byrne was the first woman mayor. And then you had Harold Washington, the first African-American mayor.
Who succeeded Jane Byrne, by
exactly.
The way.
Yeah. And now, I mean, this is just, it really says something. As much as people may sometimes wonder, and I even played that clip of Dragnet from 50 years ago talking about the same issues that people were talking about 50 years ago, talking about them today. But at the same time, we certainly have made strides. They may not be as fast as people would like. But, you know, you have to look at the end game and the big picture. And the fact, as you said correctly, 30 years ago, the thought of that would have been outrageous. And here we are today going to be inaugurating Lori Lightfoot as mayor of Chicago. I think that's impressive. Just in terms of...
She also, by the way, is not a Chicago native.
Is that true?
She grew up in Ohio.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Ah. Very interesting. What I wanted to talk about now, if you need to go off and run off and do all your little work there, I just wanted to get that Gordon Lightfoot, Lori Lightfoot connection.
You brought back memories of my youth.
Oh, I love that. I love Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, a Carefree Highway.
Carefree Highway.
You
sure.
Could read my mind, love.
Oh, man. Would taking me back to high school.
Could tell. Just like a paperback novel. Like the kind that the drugstore sells. Oh, I just love Gordon Lightfoot. But
we don't have to do Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, do we?
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they called Gitchagumi.
Should have kept quiet. Okay.
Superior,
I'm going to
they said,
now.
Never gives up or dead when the gales of November come early.
I'm going to leave now.
Okay. Are you going to join Andy at Sox Park?
I'm going right now. So when you
it's
throw
all right.
it to the
I'll,
news, 12:30, here's Dave Swan, you're going to get that dial tone again, just like when you hung
just
up.
Just like when I hung up on Bill Stark. He was beheaded. But I wanted to talk about this whole idea of how times have changed and how times haven't changed. This week on television, I think there is a really interesting thing happening on ABC. It's on Wednesday, May 22nd. You've got to set the DVR. If you're a fan of All in the Family and Norman Lear and some of those groundbreaking comedies that he produced in the 70s, All in the Family, The Jeffersons, One Day at a Time, Maude. I mean, Norman Lear, for a while, ruled network television. And in a very interesting, both entertainment as well as an experiment, I think, to show how we have both changed and in many ways how we haven't changed. And how some of these old shows, people say, oh, if it's more than 30 years old, I don't care about it. No, no, you need to remember your history, folks. And All in the Family, for all of its politically incorrect, in today's world, glory, at the same time, is going to be very relevant because Jimmy Kimmel is producing an hour program where they are going to live, mind you, on ABC on Wednesday, the 22nd, they're going to reenact word for word using the same sets as well as almost the same exact dialogue in these episodes just to show you how times have changed and how times haven't changed. They're going to recreate an episode of All in the Family and of The Jeffersons. And it's a pretty impressive cast list. Woody Harrelson is going to play Archie Bunker. Marissa Tomei is going to play Edith. Ellie Kemper from The Office is going to play Gloria. Ike Barinholtz is going to play Mike Meathead. And The Jeffersons, you're going to have Jamie Foxx and Kerry Washington as George and Wheezy. Sean Hayes is going to play Frank Lorenzo from All in the Family. Who else is here? Will Ferrell is going to play... Kerry Washington is going to play Mrs. Willis. And Will Ferrell is going to play Tom Willis. They were the mixed race couple on The Jeffersons. Wanda Sykes is going to play Louise opposite Jamie Foxx as George. Jack Kay is going to be on The Jeffersons episode. And they're going to tackle a word-for-word recreation, the same sets. I mean, these shows were very relevant and very groundbreaking about race and politics, issues that we're still talking today about abortion and women's rights. On the show, Edith was almost raped. Gloria had a miscarriage. There was talk about immigration and the right and the left and the great division. At that time, obviously, it was the conservatives versus the hippies. Today, it's the conservatives versus the progressives. So it really is an interesting Andy somewhere there. It's a very interesting dynamic as to what's going on, as to how things 40 years ago may seem so archaic, but we have moved in many ways miles, and in many ways we have moved inches. And so I am a huge fan of All in the Family. I know these episodes backwards and forwards. I remember watching them as a little kid, sometimes not even understanding the depth and some of the jokes that they were making, but certainly as time has gone on, I have really come to appreciate how brave that show was for saying some words that, believe me, if they go word for word in this dialogue, there are going to be some politically incorrect words you're going to hear on network television that were said on network television 40 years ago that many ways you can't even say today because of the politically correctness, but you're going to hear them, I would assume. I'm not sure what episode they're going to do of All in the Family, but and apparently Woody Harrelson was Norman Lear's choice to do this. Jimmy Kimmel brought this idea to ABC, and they liked it. They got Norman Lear's blessing, and apparently he said to Jimmy Kimmel, I would like to have Woody Harrelson play Archie Bunker. Not sure why he chose Woody Harrelson, but he did, and apparently, from what I heard Jimmy Kimmel say, he made one phone call, and 5 minutes later, Woody Harrelson was in, and the thing just snowballed from there. So this Wednesday on ABC, it's called Live in front of a studio audience, and that's kind of what they always would say before or after the episode. They would say, this episode of All in the Family was recorded live in front of a studio audience. So that's the name of the show. It's called Live in front of a studio audience on ABC, locally here in Chicago on Channel 7. On May 22nd, Wednesday. So check that out. If you're a fan of All in the Family and the Jeffersons, I think it's a must-see. But if you're a younger person and you have heard about All in the Family and some of these shows, and they're all on reruns, they're on several different stations on the dial. But as I said, I think this is going to be an interesting sociological lesson, an experiment, as well as a history lesson, because we're going to hear some words and some terms and some philosophies that in today's society are taboo, and that people that say them or think them are cast away. And these were on network television 40 years ago. And now you probably couldn't even get away with that. Or can you get away with it? And that's what we'll see this week. So I would say set the VCRs. After you're done with Game of Thrones tonight, and I've been looking at the text, and thank you so much for the people that have called in today during the show. Plenty of people have been texting, and I've been reading your texts, so thank you so much. A lot of nice little comments about the show and how much you're enjoying it. I really appreciate that. And a lot of people had said that they're going to do if they don't watch Game of Thrones, they're going to be watching shows like Call the Midwife or Doc Martin or American Idol is the final. A lot of people said they're going to be watching that. Some people are going to be watching baseball. Some people said that they're going to catch up on watching the episodes they haven't seen of the show Barry, which is also on HBO. And I have to say, that is one of my favorite shows. If you haven't been watching Barry and you get HBO, watch Barry with Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live. A really interesting mix of comedy and really dark comedy, as well as drama, as well as silly comedy. I don't know how they're putting this all together, but the show is very well written. It's won some awards. I don't know how many people are watching it, but I would definitely recommend Jim's A-list. I don't know what I'm going to call that. But definitely, if you haven't been watching Barry, check that out. As I said over the past week, Big Bang Theory left the airwaves after 12 years. It went off on a nice note. Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus had its series finale last weekend, and that was really a funny episode. If you haven't caught that, go back and watch Veep. It's been one of the most lauded and critically acclaimed shows, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus is really now in Lucille Ball territory in terms of the amount of awards she's had and the amount of hit shows she's been on. Seinfeld, The New and Adventures of Old Christine, and now Veep. I mean, that is quite a track record for the last 25, 30 years for Julia Louis-Dreyfus. So Veep went away. And as I said, we lost Doris Day, okay, sera, sera. Peggy Lipton this week. Jim Fowler from, remember the old show, the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins? Jim Fowler was his helper. He was the guy that actually, Marlon Perkins used to point out the animals, but Jim Fowler used to actually handle them. He used to get a few wings in his face and a few claws on his arm. And we also lost Peggy Lipton from Mod Squad and Twin Peaks. So we actually lost a few major and well-known people in the entertainment world this past week. I'm going to take a quick break, and I might take a quick break, but I'll also take a quick break, and we will say goodbye and then hand it off to Schwani, and then Schwani will do his relay over to Andy Mazur as the White Sox this afternoon take on the Toronto Blue Jays. This is Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here at Sunday Morning, 7:20 a.m. in Chicago. We'll be back right after this. No switching.